And if you would like to, do turn to Revelation chapter 11. It was our first Bible reading, and it's our last chapter in the series, the mini-series we've had from the book of Revelation. We've gone through chapters 8 to 11, which are a section of the book, if you like, a scene where the main action is the blowing of seven trumpets. And as chapter 11 starts, it's there on page 273 in the Church Bibles, New Testament, right at the back. As chapter 11 begins, there's only one trumpet left to be blown. All of the warnings have been sounded. And the next is the end, the last. Time is running out. And so we see in the first verse or two that they're measuring up in heaven. They're making sure there's enough space to get everyone in. Verse 1. Then I was given a measuring rod like a staff, and I was told, come and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out. For it is given over to the nations, and they will trample over the holy city for 42 months. So as it comes towards a climax, this scene also makes clear that there's going to be a two-way thing. God's place and another place. And as time runs out, it becomes more and more obvious who is on God's side and who isn't. Actually, it's worth pausing a moment and trying to understand the time frame here. There's a sort of maths puzzle within this chapter. Can you see in verse 2 it mentions 42 months, and then in verse 3 it mentions 1,260 days. Do you notice anything about those two numbers? Go on, shout. Mathematicians among us, do shout. They're the same, aren't they? 3.5 months is 3.5 years. 42 months is 1,200. Shows what my maths is like, doesn't it? 42 months is 1,260 days equals 3.5 years is where I was going with that. That's the amount of the long time described in Revelation chapter 11. And then if you just flick down to the bottom, can you see verse 9, for 3.5 days? And then verse 11 over the page, but after the 3.5 days... So there are two mentions of 3.5 years, and then two mentions of 3.5 days. So knowing that the book of Revelation likes to use the number 7 to denote completeness of an age, isn't it interesting that in this chapter we're given 3.5 years... and then 3.5 days. And in the symbolic way that Revelation uses, I think it's saying that this is 3.5 plus 3.5 equals 7. But the first 3.5 is much longer, and the last 3.5 is much shorter. Yeah, do you get the sort of symbolic maths? It's not the sort of maths that will get you an A level. But it is the sort of maths which will help you understand this age, the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. There will be a long time, and then a short time, and then it will be complete. In the long time, well, let's see what happens in the long time. Verse 3. And I will grant my two witnesses authority to prophesy for 1,260 days wearing sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. So during the long time, it seems that Christians can spread the gospel. These are symbolic ways of saying God's people, doing what God's people do. The two witnesses. Well, in Israel, two witnesses are needed to make a case. And it's no mistake that Jesus sent out his followers two by two to make the case. The two olive trees, well, I'm not too sure, but Alec could probably tell you that it's an Old Testament picture of God's people. The two lampstands is a New Testament picture of God's people, God's church. And these people wear sackcloth, denoting that God's people are people who repent of their sins and are humble. So during the 3.5 years, God's people spread the good news of Jesus. This goes on in quite vivid language in verse 5. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. Anyone who wants to harm them must be killed in this manner. The power of God's people is in what they speak. It's the words of the message, the fire that comes from their mouths. That is what has the effect in this long age between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And then in verse 6, there are shades of Elijah and Moses. They have authority to shut the sky so that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. So it's the authority of the word of God which changes things. That authority that was given to Elijah and Moses will be God's gift to his people in the long age between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. The speaking of the message will cause much more to happen than even they realize, to change the world, power to overcome opposition, given to the two in sackcloth, God's people. That means all of God's people, his church. So the long time, the 3.5 years, is a time when the church grows and prospers and grows across all the nations, all the world, among all the peoples and languages and kings. The spread of God's people, the growth of God's people, is the story of the 3.5 years, spread by the power of the message of God. Well, that's the 3.5 years. How about the 3.5 days, the short time after the long time? Because that will be very different. Can you see in verse 7? When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that is prophetically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, members of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and celebrate and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to the inhabitants of the earth. So it seems the book of Revelation is presenting to us a shorter time of great tribulation, an awful time for God's people, a time of defeat by those who are against God, The beast is the devil. Sodom and Egypt are remembered in the Old Testament as godless places, but it's basically a symbolic way of representing godless places, immoral, enslaving, cruel places for God's people, like the place where Jesus was crucified. So the book of Revelation conflates Sodom and Egypt, where the Israelites were enslaved, and Jerusalem, where Jesus was cruelly killed, as a way of representing the idea that in the last short period between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, there will be great cruelty and great tribulation for God's people. All sorts of people in this time will have it in for Christians. They'll take out their annoyance for Christians on Christians. And it mentions the way in which Christians have tormented them. Well, it's the message that Christians give which does seem to bug people sometimes, to bug them a lot. And it is in this last period that we're told that that annoyance will turn into violence, great violence. And as the 3.5 days come to an end, something very strange happens to the dead bodies. The dead bodies of God's people, which had been left in the streets cruelly and carelessly. Can you see in verse 11? But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and those who saw them were terrified. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. Can you see? It's a depiction of the resurrection starting. God's people started going to God's place. The voice from heaven was, "Come on, time to come to heaven." And in verse 13, there was great tumult as the end starts to happen. At that moment, there was a great earthquake. 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The final judgment has started. God's last judgment upon those who had rejected him as the one in charge. And for the enemies of God, it was terrifying. And a bit too late, they acknowledged God and gave him glory. But now the time is up. Verse 14, the second woe has passed. The third woe is coming very, very soon, it says. Then, verse 15, the last trumpet is sounded. The seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, singing, "We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign." What's this a picture of? It's a picture of God's heaven. At the last, his place where his followers worship him and serve him. Heaven is one place where people go to. It is the place where God's people go to. But there is another place, verse 18, where God's last judgment is played out. The nations raged, but your wrath has come, and the time for judging the dead. For rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints and all who fear your name, both great, small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. So for those who fear God's name, a place around his throne. For those who serve in God's name, a place around his throne. For those who speak in God's name, a place around his throne. For those who've joined the anger and destruction, a place of destruction. And we reach the end of our scene. because verse 19 is actually the start of another scene, I think. Really, the person who put the chapter and verse numbers in the book of Revelation would have done better to put chapter 12 starting a verse earlier. Can you see? A new door opens. Verse 19, then God's temple in heaven was opened. Now, if you wish to understand this approach to the book of Revelation, imagine that the book of Revelation is a bit like a computer game where you go through a series of doors into a series of large rooms or scenes. And the seven trumpet scene ends in verse 18. It's reached its conclusion. The seventh trumpet has sounded, and that's the end. It's complete. And then in verse 19, the shiny woman scene starts. We're not going to do that one now. The last trumpet is the final judgment of God, which brings his people to his place and the others to the other place. That's the end of the scene, which started with Jesus' first coming and was completed with Jesus' second coming. Every one of the scenes in the book of Revelation is similar. They start at Jesus' first coming and the present age and go on to his second coming, the age to come. Each scene looks at the same time frame from a different angle, the long period and the short period within that whole period. And our angle these last four Sundays, and if you haven't managed all the Sundays, I'm sure you'll be able to catch up by listening to the sermons on the website. Our angle this last four Sundays has been to understand the trumpets, the seven trumpets, the alarms, the sirens, the warnings in the present age, which prepare us to avoid the woes of the age to come and help us to seek salvation now and to work out that salvation now. Next week we start a new series from the book of Galatians, a bit more straightforward and I hope helpful as we run into the autumn. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that in your word you give us a full picture of the times we live in and the times to come, of your work in this whole world, amongst all peoples. Please help us to understand the whole picture and to play our part for your name's sake. Amen.